Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Jason Miller, not Stephen Miller, the other Miller guy that's a Trump surrogate, comes out after they see De Niro there, and he says, is this the best that Biden can roll out, a washed-up actor? And don't worry, my remarks will be shorter than The Irishman. I won't make you suffer for 3 hours.
Oh, he admits it.
But the best they can do is roll out a washed-up actor.
Oh.
Now, he is, I didn't know this. I didn't even see this, and I wanted to see it. Then I heard such bad things, I didn't pursue it, to be honest. The most recent nomination is for Killers of the Flower Moon.
Yeah,
this year. And I didn't see it, so I can't comment on that. He's not washed up as much as... Seems to me he's done a lot of junk over the last 8 to 10 years to make money, which is his prerogative. You know, I can't exactly say he's been choosing artistically, but he's been doing The Intern and stuff like that.
You don't think Dirty Grandpa was an artistic masterpiece?
Yeah, the Dirty Grandpa stuff, The Intern, was funny. Yeah, constantly, part three, part four, around that. But the guy is duking it out with hecklers. He wears the mask, but then he's standing and surrounded by a group of people. He takes off the mask. I don't think this is going to necessarily help Trump, but I'm not sure. I didn't hear that his defense brought this up, but maybe jurors will see this tonight. They're not sequestered. It's all over the place, particularly in New York.
Hey, yo, what did I tell you? What did I tell you? Did I not tell you? Don't buy anything. Don't buy anything.
Sorry to correct, but nothing big, I think, was the line there. Sorry, Mr. De Niro.
Nothing big. Did I say nothing big? You got a million bulls out here. You're going to get us all pinched.
There you go. Back on track. So, Dan, who did you say that the Trump people should have countered with today, and it's more New York?
Yeah, why don't we get a Joe Pesci out there?
Is Joe there? Is Joe Pesci there?
Hey, you know what the problem is right now? It's Robert De Niro. I don't know what's going on, but I would say to him right now the same thing I said in Raging Bull. What are you doing, Jack? Keep defending the title. You got to defend the title next month. Keep eating. Keep eating, Jack. Look at you. Look at you. You're cracking up.
Okay. Unusual role for Mr. Pesci there.
Hey, Jack, you're cracking up over there. You know what I'm talking about?
All right, 855-839-1210. Maybe Martin Scorsese will be.
Did you do a Ray Romano by chance? We can get him out there next.
No, I don't do a Ray Romano.
All right, hit us on Twitter. Who should they bring out tomorrow to harass the Trump side after De Niro today? Even the Trump people didn't do anything.
Fran Drescher?
And who should Trump counter with that he'll have there tomorrow? A bunch of rappers? Oh, my God. It's hard to believe. So I wouldn't say he's washed up.
I know who we can get out there.
Who?
Andrew Dice Clay.
Is he in New York? Say North Jersey, kind of.
I'm right here. Let me tell you something about Robert De Niro. I think the man's cracking up over here big time. Listen, snap ahead. Don't you understand right now that when Donald Trump was in office, people came to my show? It was unbelievable. Now I can't get like maybe 10 or 12 people here because of Tomato Head Joe Biden.
Final one, I promise. Maybe we can get Gilbert Godfrey out there. Oh, wait.
No. It's
that would take a little bit right now. Gilbert's no longer with us.
Well, not only that, Dan, I was out there witnessing a meltdown when we were back at the old studios. They had him in studio in the morning show. Not Rich, somebody else. Not good.
Really?
Oh, boy.
I remember that.
Google it. They might be out there still all over the place. Yeah. Okay. So, great line from the defense. This case is about documents, not about an encounter with Stormy Daniels. All right? There was no intent. They're constantly talking about intent today. Willful intent. Which is a good thing. And Trump has some kind of sheet in front of him, checking off notations, apparently, when the defense says something that he liked. He's got a small yellow sheet in front of him with blocked notations.
I think it's just a game they drew up, like a crossword, so he can play and stay awake for the dang thing at this point.
Maybe. No intention to defraud. So the prosecution at 2 o'clock will start, and I'm hoping they get done today by 5:36. And tomorrow, we finally get the jury instruction. Give the jury instructions today. They only take an hour. Oh, God. Let's get to the verdict. All right. Well, they're still picking over the bones of Harrison Butker. Now, we've talked a lot about the world of sports. Marcus Hayes is a guy that writes for the Inquirer. It's just an example of this. Still going back to this. And Dan, he attacked... He attacked Andy Reid, Travis Kelce, and Jason Kelce. Why couldn't they just call this guy out as the moron that he is? Why did they say they don't agree with him, but he has every right to say it? Why did the two Kansas City Chiefs, or three of them, say what a great teammate he is? Because he is. And then we get to Jason Kelce. And Jason Kelce originally said, when you're listening to somebody, you take in things that you like and you listen to other things and say, I don't blank, blank like that. After getting grief for not being critical enough of Butker, Jason Kelce said, if my daughters listen to anybody tell them what to do and they should be homemakers and I failed as a dad. And said of people who like Butker present asinine viewpoints, that guy's a bleeping idiot. Now, why the restatements? So then people came back at him and said, well, your wife is a homemaker. And instead of saying, yeah, well, she is, he was offended by that. This whole thing in the world of sports with this guy Butker, the Chiefs handled it correctly. I think they would have supported Travis Kelce or Mahomes if they had said, you know what, this guy's a good guy as a teammate. But this argument about women and homemakers goes way too far. They could have said what they wanted to say. What did you think of the comments of Jason Kelce, Dan? I thought the initial comments were fine. I thought the second comments were fine, too. But you could see what's, I think, happening here. He was probably told, hey, you got to go at this guy more.
Did you hear his very off-color joke he made?
About the wife and the sandwich?
Yeah.
There was nothing. I thought that was good.
My wife, she was, I think, a little bit frustrated with some of the comments. Initially, I said, listen, you're going to need to go back in the kitchen and make me a sandwich. I'm listening to the game right now.
So when this guy hit him, a troll, or several people, Dan, he said, our marriage is a partnership. I let him finish his... I didn't think it was anything.
I didn't really thought it was much funnier than it was. Like,
he kind of flinched at the idea that his wife is a homemaker. You know what? How have we come to a point to say there's anything wrong with that?
I think Jason kind of might agree with it, but his wife, and the reason why I played that joke is because he specifically says my wife was a little frustrated with some of the comments initially, and then he makes this joke about it. So it almost seems like he doesn't really care that much. He might be friendly with Harrison Butker, and he wants to keep that friendship, and but also at the same time not go home and have to sleep on the couch after recording the podcast.
So you think it's the wife. I see a bigger thing here. This guy, look, if he were an Eagle, I think it'd be okay. Going to ESPN, Dan. I think you got to be more aggressive toward Butker. I'm telling you, that first miss that Butker makes this year, you're going to see wall-to-wall coverage of it. It's ridiculous. And I don't agree with the guy. You know, we can go point by point in what he said here in this manner. I don't even know that it was appropriate to say it to young women graduating college that day. I wouldn't have done that. He could have couched it differently. But the outcry over this, Travis Kelce hit it out of the park correctly, I think. So you take a look at this columnist, Marcus Hayes. Here's what he writes about today. How the Chiefs blew the Harrison Butker issue, Aaron Rodgers and the vaccine he goes back to, and could Scottie Scheffler actually get the justice that Breonna Taylor did?
What is
how on? Is it? Well, he doesn't have enough for one column. I'm a columnist too, Marcus.
Apparently, yeah.
So this is the world of sports. It has become, in many ways, this PC outlet that it used to be. This is not the type of thing they'd be engaging in.
Remember when we used to know, like, what happened with, you know, behind the scenes of the Eagles and doing these long stories, feature stories, right, into the lives of the Eagles and stuff? Marcus, why are you not doing that? Like, why are we trying to divide society by turning everything into a racial issue?
In the world
issue?
Of sports, which is in supposed to be more fun than not, you know, and sports are too serious to me. The competition, the stuff we get from sports.
Newspapers really have to reassess their role in society at this point.
Yeah, I mean, this is what it has come down to. And again, Jason Kelce saying, Marcus Hayes right, a great person doesn't think like a handmaiden fan. Look, this guy is old-fashioned. Butker, what he said about women here is limiting, but you can say that. Why is this so outrageous, particularly from football players? All right, phone lines are 855-839-1210. That's how you get on board. AT&T and Verizon Wireless, just push pound 1210. The defense attorney, and I'm going to ask, we have on today Jay Towne at 2 o'clock. The only person who told the jury what Trump knew about the Daniels payment was Cohen, and he talked today about there's something conspiratorial here going on with some of these statements. I think what, and I can't tell, because we're on the air and I can't hear it. Did Blanche do, here's what the job of the defense was today. To give the two or three jurors that might be persuaded that Trump is being persecuted more than prosecuted, some phraseology, some leverage to hang on to when it gets tough. Because what's going to happen tomorrow when it's given to the jury? Whichever ones see this differently. It may be one, it may be as many as three or four. They're going to be under unrelenting pressure. Remember when you hear Allen charge, what that means from the judge. And this judge will do it. It's to try to move the minority toward the majority opinion. And I see no way that Trump has the majority opinion. They're going to say not guilty. I would be shocked, more shocked than I am if he's convicted. I'd be shocked if either one. It's going to be a hung jury. It's just a question of how long is it going to take? Based upon anything that we've seen so far, I don't see any other outcome. All right, so that gets us to our side question today. Something terrible about New York City, a person, place, event. And De Niro must have heard we were doing the side question today. He rolls right into this and gives us this spectacle. Let's hear a little bit more of it, Dan, because I love the De Niro with the heckler that's there about who you call
it.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right, we'll do it after the break, okay? Dom Giordano Show, 855-839-1210. That's how you get in. And, Dan, we got another. I could tell. And, again, thanks for getting Keith Hartzell on yesterday. Came on Memorial Day. What happened at the Jersey Shore over the weekend is not just about the Jersey Shore, Ocean City, Wildwood. It's about this simmering stuff that you get, in my view, with progressivism. I read you the directive they put in. That's the Murphy administration, the same people that want to do the whales thing. Dan, you're hearing that, maybe we'll have him on tomorrow, the mayor of Seattle City, Lou Desiderio.
Lenny
Desiderio. Talking about banning something else.
Yeah, so Lenny Desiderio is taking the initiative. He's the first one to spearhead this effort to ban shiesties, balaclavas. Yes. You saw him move in Philadelphia to do it because no matter how hot it was outside, people were concealing their identity by wearing those black ski masks. And apparently, there are rumors that the situation unfolded in Ocean City, the culprits were wearing them, and there have been other situations. And my question is, it's May, it's 90 degrees out, why the heck do you have to be wearing ski masks anyway? So I'm in favor of this, but Lenny Desiderio is spearheading an effort now to ban ski masks down the shore, in effort to cut down what we saw, this just ruckus that we saw over the weekend, the violence of teenagers on the boardwalks all over the Jersey Shore.
Yeah, absolutely.
Tomorrow, we're aiming for tomorrow at 12:30 with Lenny. No,
okay.
I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, it reminds me of Dan, two things on the Jersey Shore for you. I think it was Mayor Fred Wager. Yeah, what is it with these Wildwood mayors? Every one of them is a character, and every one of them there's a thing. Mayor Pete, Ernie Triano, and Wager,
yeah,
who wanted to put a casino on the burial grounds of Indians.
Well, you knew Don Guardian in Atlantic City, right?
Yes.
Yeah, with the bow tie. I often wonder if people kind of strive. You're in a tourist, a shore kind of location. Don't you want someone that kind of represents the boisterousness of being down the shore? And I think Lenny does that. Lenny does Dario. I think Ernie does it. I think Mayor Pete does it. Don Guardian did it well.
Yeah, so he was about, I think it was him more than Ernie, about pull up your drawers. You know, I'm waiting for that to happen again. We haven't seen it this summer that I know of. But I had on Ocean City, Maryland, became friendly with them several times. They were trying to prevent profanity on the boardwalk. Oh, my God. The ACLU just, you know, camped out in Ocean City, Maryland.
Come on.
We may have to call them again to see it. You know, they were well-meaning. Look,
listeners on every corner?
They said they're not going to do it. They're not going to be listening to one thing. But if you have somebody there that just is constantly doing this, you know, they would try to take some action. That's kind of a First Amendment thing. But the ski mask thing, why are you wearing a ski mask when it's 85, 90, 100 degrees out? We know what you're trying to do. And you can wear it, but maybe you can't wear it in certain public settings, like the subways of Philadelphia, sensitive buildings, like going into a bank.
Or the boardwalk.
Or the boardwalk.
The boardwalk.
Yeah. All right, let's go to Mary in Cherry Hill. Mary's in with Dom on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Mary.
Hi there. I wanted to talk about the Butker comments that were made.
Mm-hmm.
Here's how I see it. He was giving this speech to a Catholic college. I don't think he said anything negative. You know, I raised my children. My youngest daughter became a CPA, and she and her husband were married for about 6 years, and they had children. She gave up her job, but they had a plan. And I'm going to tell you something. Working is easy. Running a home and looking after your children is a very tough job. I did it. And I just think there's a much to do about trying to slam this guy when I think his speech was rather pure. And I don't understand why everyone has to tear him apart. And then you've got this guy commenting and that guy commenting and then retracting what they say. It's just a speech, and it's just gone crazy over it. And I just wanted to comment on that.
Well, I appreciate it. Look, I would challenge him on some of this. I think he went too far, and he diminished working women who are also on the home front, you know, part of the time and that kind of stuff. I would debate him. I would debate him on that. But that doesn't mean there's anything outlandish about what he said. I just differ with him on it.
I have two daughters. One is a business and economics doing great, and the other is a biomedical engineer. One's 23, and the other's 25, almost 26. You know what? They want to get married. They want to get married. They've got their plan, how they're going to do it and have their children. I mean, I have another granddaughter who works from home. She works 3 days a week, and she has a child hoping to have another.
Well, Mary, to the point, we're in agreement, but you know what? I would prefer, if I were given that speech, to say what you just said. I don't, I see his is an outlier, but it's not anything diminishing or attacking or anything like that. I just differ with it.
you say that. I'm glad to hear you say that, because remember, he's young. He's young. And there is a difference in how to put something forth. He did address that, you know, you want to rise up in your positions, you're excited. I thought that was great. I thought it was great.
Absolutely. Thank you, Mary. We're in agreement on this.
I'll play devil's advocate here.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was talking to a lot of people about this over the weekend, and the thing is, and I made this point last week, I think a lot of what he was trying to say, reading between the lines, is that we now live in a society where it's impossible to have a person at home raising kids, and there's a lot about, you know, it's a lot of parents have to send their kids to daycare, but it's great to have a parent there bonding with a child, raising that child.
Mm-hmm.
But what he did is he was speaking to an audience of men and women. He specifically said it's the woman's job to do that. So a lot of the beef comes from why didn't he make it essentially that men and women, if you want to be that person who's at home rearing the child, raising them, why did he make it specifically women? And I think that's the issue a lot of people on the left are taking issue with.
I think they're taking issue with the whole thing. But, again, this guy wasn't careful in it wasn't nuanced enough, particularly on these women's graduation day. But he's not saying anything hateful, outlandish, revolutionary here that people ought to be coming at him in this manner. All right. He spoke again over the weekend and saying he's willing to take it. To Dan's point, though, I agree. This is not nuanced. But I think the Chiefs have done the right thing by talking about his character, what type of guy he is, and why in the world would he be under this kind of attack? When we made this point again and again, how many thugs you have that might be in the NFL, the NBA, and the like, why this guy? Well, it's the world of sports. Guys like Marcus Hayes, the column we told you about, that's what they're looking for. Now, Dan, to your point where I thought you were going with, well, you did go with this, you do need to have 1.5 people at least in the workplace. You're not getting away with one anymore unless you're a field goal kicker or something of that nature, right?
Yep.
Making $1 million, $10 million a year, whatever.
And it's sad.
Yes. And this brings us to the biggest flaw that I have with Joe Biden, okay? Other than, and I mean this sincerely, you know, over the years I've gotten, when I say, look, ideologically, Obama and the personality, not for me, Hillary, the same thing, but they're smart. There's no doubt. Then we have dopes like Nancy Pelosi and Joe Biden. They're dopes. That's not an ideological. That is just a judgment I make by years of doing this. They're dopes. They're not smart. Biden is also angry now. Wall Street Journal today, the interview with, among others, David Axelrod, who was the guy who was the top, and he was valuable to President Obama as an advisor, saying that Biden needs to show more empathy on the economy. Remember that whole thing that we had with Carvel, who, as mangled as he is, kept Clinton in 1992 when he ran for president, the sign, it's the economy, stupid. That's what he wanted Clinton talking about. American Spectator column today, it's the cost of living, comma, stupid. Why is it that these people think they can tell us how great this economy is when people are struggling against inflation created by Biden? Well, what else are they going to do? They don't want to renounce it. They want to continue to spend more. So here's one strategy Biden is willing to deal with. He prattles on about, well, I forgave your student loan debt, insulin cost. In other words, winners and losers on various things that he ameliorated, even though he's doing it the wrong way. But in broad strokes, he doesn't want to. He can't, because of his policies and Bidenomics. He can't ameliorate what inflation has done to the average American. And no matter how many times they want to tell us about unemployment stats or some other goofy stat they cook up, the bottom line comes back to what he has done. He has baked in upwards of 20% and more on some. I told you, if you listened yesterday, we were kidding, Dan and I, about pickle relish for
don't you dare touch my pickle relish.
That's right. Tom. For barbecues and all, it's up 50% year over year. 50%. Ridiculous. Why? When you break something like this and you create this chaos, you don't know what you can. It's very hard to push it back together. It's organic. If you let it alone, don't fix it. It's not broken. It's fine. You break it, and all hell can break. Pickle relish.
I've had to have my pickle relish usage.
There you go. So Biden,
tried a hot dog with only half pickle relish on it?
They're trying to get Biden to show empathy. Now, here's one tip, too. Biden's coming to town. I have spoken there. I've been there several times. Girard College. He's coming to Girard College tomorrow. Why is he doing this? A, it's Philadelphia. Two, he's trying to rouse black voters. The Inquirer's got a big piece on it. Now, he's coming to a school of black children. I'm not sure if Girard College goes up to eighth grade or high school at this point. Okay, it's famous. Was nationally famous because of all the issues over the years with it.
One to 12.
Okay. He is going to go there tomorrow. He is going to disrespect it. He's going to go wild. And what he's trying to do, just like he did at Morehouse, is tell these children, tell blacks across the country, I'm the white savior. They're going to put you all back in chains. Now, he may not use that language at Girard College.
They're going to put you all back in chains.
How many times has this man gone to the well for this? He goes to it constantly. He gets this angry, squinting face. That's what he's about. He can't show empathy to the average American facing this stunning inflation. In fact, he's angry that people are not going, great job with the economy, Joe. We don't care about the economy. There's only one measure that matters. Your buying power. What you can do with the money that you have. How far that it goes. These other things, if inflation is not out there, then you start to look at unemployment and all people having jobs. But at this point, the thing that is so apparent, and I wonder how much do you have to look at Trump and buy into he's going to be a dictator. That's the end of democracy. To vote Biden back in, given A, what inflation has done, and B, the idea that he has no empathy for this. He can't express it. He can't say it, because that would mean he's the one that created it. All right, 855-839-1210. You can get on board here. Hit me on the side question. Something terrible about New York. With this New York jury that we're facing. Dan, tremendous ones on Twitter. Happen to have any?
Yeah. How about a drunken Don Lemon on New Year's Eve?
Well, Anderson Cooper even worse. Don Lemon, expectation. Anderson Cooper with that guy.
Yeah, Don Lemon's usually in New Orleans, isn't he?
Yes.
Yeah.
Who's the guy?
Andy Cohen.
Yeah, God.
Oh, what do you mean? Andy Cohen's a... He's great. Those Real Housewives reunion shows.
Oh, well, that's your addiction. Yeah, but yeah. The two of them on New Year's Eve, my God, it's a little too much.
Maria says to counter to De Niro with the, let's counter with the King of Queens, Kevin James, get him out there.
I don't know what I'm doing here, but Trump said to come on board.
Leslie's got a great one. Nicole Hannah-Jones, Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter for New York Times Magazine.
Oh, there you go.
Creator of 1619 Project.
The damage that woman has caused. All right, so Joe Biden, Girard College tomorrow. Your call next at 855.
Oh, and the Naked Cowboy gets a mention.
I'm fine with the Naked Cowboy.
Are you fine
with the
Naked
Cowboy? I wish Philadelphia had a Naked Cowboy.
We have a couple weird oddities, yeah.
Yeah, like what?
Philly Jesus?
Yes.
Comes on the show, you know?
They don't have Philly Jesus.
They don't have Philly
Jesus.
That's
Philadelphia's claim to
fame. The guy eating a rotisserie chicken on a pier behind Walmart?
The hoagie guy.
Yeah.
Remember the guy commenting on the bridge going to the 95 going down? He sounded like he was right out of a Northeast Philly movie.
You ever happen to be down in Rittenhouse Square and meet the carrot cake guy? He comes around with a pan of carrot cakes, and they're fantastic carrot cakes, but...
No, I have not met him.
It's very Philadelphia.
Naked Cowboy's fine. At least it's not spandex or something. Okay. Dom Time with Dan. Welcome in, everyone. 855-839-1210. Couple of quick things. So Pope Francis now has admitted, and he gets away with just an apology. He didn't even say, well, it was in a different language. What's up with this guy? Apparently, there was a proposal to have people that are men that are gay be priests if they are celibate. And the Pope said, we already have, in a word in Italian, I think I saw it during The Sopranos, they use the same word, so I'm certainly not going to use it here. We already have enough, begins with an F. In Italian, it sounds more elevated, but it's a pretty bad slur. What the heck is happening with old Pope Francis here? saying this and rejecting this. That's not right. This guy has been amazing. He's a sign of the times that he's elevated to being the Pope. And prediction is the next Pope will not be a pushback on it. They'll go further with the next Pope. The people that are lined up that you think are going to be the next Pope. Hard to believe that you got a Pope now apologizing. I shouldn't have said that. I thought it was, come on now. He's not saying that in a closed-door meeting in which you're talking about these proposals, and rather than saying, I think that'd be pretty hard, the gay guy, celibate, the priest, and all that might not work. He goes, we already have enough going on in the priesthood. Wow. Other public figures say anything like that. Isn't this supposed to be the holy Pope Francis? Okay. Drexel students demand administrators remove Jewish student groups from the campus. Yep, they're encamped again. Well, there's another proposal, Dan, even more outrageous. So they want to terminate the chapters of both Hillel and Shabbat, two Jewish student group organizations. They set up the encampment on Saturday. They include demands to close the Starbucks. Okay, I'm on board with that. Stop them. End printing services with Hewlett-Packard and end agreements with Israeli universities. But they also want the president of Drexel to take a 60% salary cut. Yep, 60% salary cut. It's hard to believe here. 60%. 855-839-1210. What is the possibility of that?
I mean, the guy makes a ton of money.
Hey, Dan, I may have found the guy or one of the guys that broke up these mobs at the shore. Julius Brown, his name is. He and Dana Smith visited Wildwood for the weekend. They were disappointed. They saw a lot of trouble, and Brown and Smith said they broke up a confrontation between a teenage boy and a group of girls over the weekend. My Marine Corps intuition just kicked in, and I had to defuse the situation.
Where are you seeing that?
That's from the Inquirer.
Gotcha.
So I'm not sure if that's the guy that Mayor Ernie Triano mentioned earlier today as far as somebody to command that jumped in. We'd love to know who that guy is. You can always hit me on Twitter or send an email or tell Dan or tell Jim. We'd like to follow it up and honor him. He did a quite a turn there given what the cops were facing.
What was the name again?
Julius Brown and Dana Smith. I'm not sure if that's the guy, but it sounds similar to, Marine training kicking in, the guy that intervened. Doug in Burlington. Doug, you're on Talk Radio 1210. Afternoon, Doug.
Hi, Dom and Dan. This whole thing with De Niro and the other Hollywood types that come out so vehemently against Trump, I think it's more that they hate the country, not so much Trump. They understand that Trump loves our country, and he would our country would do well if he were elected again. But when they come out so strongly against Trump, I think they're really coming out against our country.
Well, Doug, I would say they're against traditional America. I'm sure De Niro thinks he's loving America, but he's not loving traditional America.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Well, and look, it is for him, though. With some of these guys, and there's been enough of this, Doug, Stern crawls with it, Mark Cuban and others. They've been around Trump. They think they're smarter, et cetera. They didn't run for president. They think they ought to be president. But they didn't go through the slings and arrows of what it takes when you put your name out there into the ring to be president. And that's why they're not. And Mark Cuban had billions of dollars. He could have run. Howard Stern was sort of running for governor.
Funny you bring that up.
Yes. Now, Dan, you raise a great question.
Yeah,
why isn't Howard Stern out there? Maybe that'll be tomorrow. Tomorrow, they think, is the big day, telling the jury. And is this going to work? Are the jurors...
Today was a day off.
That's true. Yeah, probably tomorrow. That's right, Tuesday, Monday and Tuesday.
The day that ends in day, it's an off day for Howard.
I think this is a miscalculation, though. When the jurors, these jurors are not sequestered. When they see De Niro there, I'm not sure how they feel about the January 6th guy. Look, you know, if it's a law enforcement guy, I feel for it. And that guy was attacked by a mob. But Fanon has been on TV, and you got to understand the bitterness. Okay, I get that, but it goes way beyond on that. And De Niro just hates Trump. So when these jurors see this, do they start to say, you know what, this is not about justice and democracy? They may not even like Trump. They may even see that they're not going to vote for Trump. But I got to think a couple of them, particularly the lawyers, are going to look at this and say, where is the case? Now, I just saw this on Fox. This is a good tactic by the defense. And I wish I had them. We'll get them as soon as it, you know, we're just going dribs and drabs from the defense today. The defense, the key guy, raised 10 reasons. 10's always a good number for reasonable doubt. He gave them 10 bullet points that any one of which would trigger reasonable doubt. I happen to think, Dan, if I were in a courtroom, if I were going to be a defense attorney, not likely, I'd be the prosecutor in almost every instance. But if I had to tag in a case like this for defense, either side, I would day and night hone myself on one thing that matters in these cases, reasonable doubt. How do I tell a person what reasonable doubt is? How do I tell them what it is not? That, to me, in any kind of close case, that's the whole ballgame. When these jurors hear what reasonable doubt is from both sides, there's enough reasonable doubt here when you don't even know what the second crime is. But all the other things that go into this, doesn't it come down to that? I'm talking about, you know, if it's an open and shut case, they did it, you know, and all. What is reasonable doubt? And I've had people on in the year, some of the very best, try to explain what that is. Some of the defense attorneys go too far. They make it like there never could be anything but reasonable doubt. Some of the prosecutors are ham-handed. They don't know how to diffuse what reasonable doubt is. Lee Zeldin tomorrow, Dan, to respond to Biden-Harris.
Yep.
I wonder if Lee Zeldin can respond to Robert De Niro, though. What would you say, in fairness, since he was accused of being washed up today? What is De Niro's greatest role to you? Do you have one in mind? I'm going through in my list in my head. I don't like him in Goodfellas. He's not believable as even, you know, connected to an Italian mob there. I don't care, you know.
I mean, Cape Fear.
Ah, yeah, he's very good in Cape Fear. Yeah, excellent in Cape Fear.
I don't know what else. Godfather, too, I mean, would be your answer, right?
Doesn't come up quite to standard in Godfather 2.
Taxi Driver, I think.
Driver is very good.
If you asked Ray Dittinger, I think it would be Raging Bull.
Raging Bull, very good. Yeah, Raging Bull, he's very good.
You ask someone who loves the Eagles, Silver Linings Playbook.
He's very good in that, in a later life role, yeah. But Godfather and all, kind of critical.
You're forgetting Bronx Tale.
Bronx Tale as the father. That is a great role because he's playing the guy who is understated. He's a bus driver versus Chaz Palminteri is a much stronger figure. He's very good as the bus driver.
Jimmy Matthews is very upset on YouTube. YouTube.com/@WPH. Go like and subscribe.
Good, Jimmy, yes.
Got a great community over there. Mangle, Secret Squirrel, Tiny Bubbles. But Jimmy is angry. He's the former president guy. He says, Dom, De Niro is an American icon, a living legend. Godfather 2 would not have won Best Picture without him, the only sequel to ever do so. Also, he writes, he's widely considered one of the greatest movie actors of all time. Dom, you sound ridiculous when you ridicule him on air.
What did I object to him with the Italian stuff? What is
Jimmy,
it
Trump's best cheerleaders, who? Kid Rock, James Woods, who?
Yes, let's get them out there, a whole array of Kid Rock, James Woods. Who else is Trump? Mike Tyson, I think, is a bit of
Mike
a
Rowe.
Mike Rowe, of course. Yeah. We need to have them out there tomorrow. All right.
You'll go out, right? You know, they want you. Yeah.
Well, if they call, I'm out there, Jimmy, and I'm going to say, President Trump, President Trump. I like that car horn. The attorney Blanche Dan said Michael Cohen is the human embodiment of reasonable doubt, and that's absolutely true.
Hey, if you go out there again to the Trump thing, make sure we get a nice, clear picture of the Mike flag once again.
Yeah, well, Tommy McDonald has to get a giant, that big talker Mike flag was unbelievable. WWDB flag. Dan, see this screen here for listeners watching? The Mike flag was about that big. He had to carry it over his head like this.
I love it.
And he'd be at a thing, and you'd see the head of the
just
person.
Just a 10-foot Mike flag in front of the podium.
It could be the president. His head's blocked out by WWDB. All right.
Love that. 855-839-1210.
You got to get in. I'm not sure. There might be a Dan time with Dom today in the offing.
Yeah, I got one.
And at 2 o'clock, we'll talk with Jay Towne. How did the closing argument go today? And what does he think of Robert De Niro?
They're running a strange program, y'all.
It's Dan time.
I can handle things. I'm smart. I'm like everybody says.
With Dom.
That's right, it's that time of the afternoon. Producer Dan takes over the Dom Giordano program for some Dan time with Dom. And Dom, I got some good news if you're a Philadelphia Phillies fan or if you're a baseball fan in general. I'm sure you've seen this. Angel Hernandez retired immediately. Again, we talked about this guy on the show in the past because he's the one that unsuccessfully sued the MLB on grounds of racial discrimination because he wasn't apparently getting the gigs that he deserved, World Series gigs. But no, he was just an absolutely terrible umpire and was actually given more opportunities than he probably should have been given, right, Dom?
Never should have been able to call balls and strikes. And I think Dom time with Dan. Welcome in, everyone. 855-839-1210. Couple of quick things. So Pope Francis now has admitted, and he gets away with just an apology. He didn't even say, well, it was in a different language. What's up with this guy? Apparently, there was a proposal to have people that are men that are gay be priests if they are celibate. And the Pope said, we already have, in a word in Italian, I think I saw it during the Sopranos, they used the same word, so I'm certainly not going to use it here. We already have enough, begins with an F. In Italian, it sounds more elevated, but it's a pretty bad slur. What the heck is happening with old Pope Francis here? Saying this and rejecting this. That's not right. This guy has been amazing. He's a sign of the times that he's elevated to being the Pope. And prediction is the next Pope will not be a pushback on it. They'll go further with the next Pope. The people that are lined up that you think are going to be the next Pope. Hard to believe that you got a Pope now apologizing. I shouldn't have said that, I thought it was, come on now. He's not saying that in a closed-door meeting in which you're talking about these proposals and rather than saying, I think that'd be pretty hard. The gay guy, celibate, the priest, and all that might not work. He goes, we already have enough going on in the priesthood. Wow. Other public figures say anything like that. Isn't this supposed to be the holy Pope Francis? Okay. Drexel students demand administrators remove Jewish student groups from the campus. Yep, they're encamped again. Well, there's another proposal, Dan, even more outrageous. So they want to terminate the chapters of both Hillel and Shabbat, two Jewish student group organizations. They set up the encampment on Saturday. They include demands to close the Starbucks. Okay, I'm on board with that. Stop them. End printing services with Hewlett-Packard and end agreements with Israeli universities. But they also want the president of Drexel to take a 60% salary cut. Yep, 60% salary cut. It's hard to believe here. 60%. 855-839-1210. What is the possibility of that?
I mean, the guy makes a ton of money.
Hey, Dan, I may have found the guy or one of the guys that broke up these mobs at the shore. Julius Brown, his name is. He and Dana Smith visited Wildwood for the weekend. They were disappointed. They saw a lot of trouble, and Brown and Smith said they broke up a confrontation between a teenage boy and a group of girls over the weekend. My Marine Corps intuition just kicked in, and I had to defuse the situation.
Where are you seeing that?
That's from the Inquirer.
Gotcha.
So I'm not sure if That's the guy that Mayor Ernie Triano mentioned earlier today as far as somebody to command that jumped in. We'd love to know who that guy is. You can always hit me on Twitter or send an email or tell Dan or tell Jim. We'd like to follow it up and honor him. He did a quite a turn there given what the cops were facing.
What was the name again?
Julius Brown and Dana Smith. I'm not sure if that's the guy, but it sounds similar to, you know, Marine training kicking in, the guy that intervened. Doug in Burlington. Doug, you're on Talk Radio 1210. Afternoon, Doug.
Hi, Dom and Dan. This whole thing with De Niro and the you know, the other Hollywood types that come out so vehemently against Trump, I think it's more that they hate the country, not so much Trump. They understand that Trump loves our country, and he would you know, our country would do well if he were elected again. But when they come out so strongly against Trump, I think they're really coming out against our country.
Well, Doug, I would say they're against traditional America. I'm sure De Niro thinks he's loving America, but he's not loving traditional America.
Yeah, yeah, I agree with that.
Well, and look, it is for him, though. You know, with some of these guys, and there's been enough of this, Doug, Stern crawls with it, Mark Cuban and others. They've been around Trump. They think they're smarter, et cetera. They didn't run for president. They think they ought to be president. But they didn't go through the slings and arrows of what it takes when you put your name out there into the ring to be president. And that's why they're not. They're not running. And Mark Cuban had billions of dollars. He could have run. Howard Stern was sort of running for governor.
Funny you bring that up.
Yes. Now, Dan, you raise a great question.
Yeah,
why isn't Howard Stern out there? Maybe that'll be tomorrow. Tomorrow, they think, is the big day, telling the jury. And is this going to work? Are the jurors...
Today was a day off.
That's right. Yeah, probably tomorrow. That's right, Tuesday, Monday and Tuesday.
The day that ends in day, it's an off day for Howard.
I think this is a miscalculation, though. When the jurors, these jurors are not sequestered. When they see De Niro there, I'm not sure how they feel about the January 6th guy. Look, you know, if it's a law enforcement guy, I feel for it. And that guy was attacked by a mob. But Fanon has been on TV. And you got to understand the bitterness. Okay, I get that. But it goes way beyond on that. And De Niro just hates Trump. So when these jurors see this, do they start to say, you know what, this is not about justice and democracy? They may not even like Trump. They may even see that they're not going to vote for Trump. But I got to think a couple of them, particularly the lawyers, are going to look at this and say, where is the case? Now, I just saw this on Fox. This is a good tactic by the defense. And I wish I had them. We'll get them as soon as, we're just going dribs and drabs from the defense today. The defense, the key guy, raised 10 reasons. 10's always a good number for reasonable doubt. He gave them 10 bullet points that any one of which would trigger reasonable doubt. I happen to think, Dan, if I were in a courtroom, if I were going to be a defense attorney, not likely, I'd be the prosecutor in almost every instance. But if I had to tag in a case like this for defense, either side, I would day and night hone myself on one thing that matters in these cases, reasonable doubt. How do I tell a person what reasonable doubt is? How do I tell them what it is not? That, to me, in any kind of close case, that's the whole ballgame. When these jurors hear what reasonable doubt is from both sides, there's enough reasonable doubt here when you don't even know what the second crime is. But all the other things that go into this, doesn't it come down to that? I'm talking about, you know, if it's an open and shut case, they did it, you know, and all. What is reasonable doubt? And I've had people on in the year, some of the very best, try to explain what that is. Some of the defense attorneys go too far. They make it like there never could be anything but reasonable doubt. Some of the prosecutors are ham-handed. They don't know how to diffuse what reasonable doubt is. Lee Zeldin tomorrow, Dan, to respond to Biden-Harris.
Yep.
I wonder if Lee Zeldin can respond to Robert De Niro, though. What would you say, in fairness, since he was accused of being washed up today? What is De Niro's greatest role to you? Do you have one in mind? I'm going through in my list in my head. I don't like him in Goodfellas. He's not believable as even, you know, connected to an Italian mob there. I don't care, you know.
I mean, Cape Fear.
Ah, yeah, he's very good in Cape Fear. Yeah, excellent in Cape Fear.
I don't know what else. Godfather, too, I mean, would be your answer, right?
Doesn't come up quite to standard in Godfather, too.
Taxi Driver, I think.
Taxi Driver is very good.
If you asked Ray Dittinger, I think it would be Raging Bull.
Raging Bull, very good. Yeah, Raging Bull, he's very good.
You ask someone who loves the Eagles, Silver Linings Playbook.
He's very good in that, in a later life role, yeah. But Godfather and all, kind of critical.
Forgetting Bronx Tale.
Bronx Tale is the father. That is a great role because he's playing the guy who is understated. He's a bus driver versus Chaz Palminteri is a much stronger figure. He's very good as the bus driver.
Jimmy Matthews is very upset on YouTube. YouTube.com/@WPHGo like and subscribe.
Good, Jimmy, yes.
Got a great community over there. Mangle, Secret Squirrel, Tiny Bubbles. But Jimmy is angry. He's the former president guy. He says, Dom, De Niro is an American icon, a living legend. Godfather 2 would not have won Best Picture without him, the only sequel to ever do so. Also, he writes, he's widely considered one of the greatest movie actors of all time. Dom, you sound ridiculous when you ridicule him on air.
What do I object to him with the Italian stuff? What is
Jimmy,
it
Trump's best cheerleaders, who? Kid Rock, James Woods, who?
Yes, let's get them out there, a whole array of Kid Rock, James Woods. Who else is Trump? Mike Tyson, I think, is a bit of
Mike
a
Rowe.
Mike Rowe, of course. Yeah. We need to have them out there tomorrow. All right.
You'll go out, right? You know, they want you. Yeah.
Well, if they call, I'm out there, Jimmy, and I'm going to say, President Trump, President Trump. I like that car horn. The attorney Blanche Dan said Michael Cohen is the human embodiment of reasonable doubt, and that's absolutely true.
Hey, if you go out there again to the Trump thing, make sure we get a nice, clear picture of the Mike flag once again.
Yeah, well, Tommy McDonald has to get a giant, that big talker Mike flag was unbelievable. WWDB flag. Dan, see this screen here for listeners watching? The Mike flag was about that big. He had to carry it over his head like this.
I love it.
And he'd be at a thing, and you'd see the head of the
just
person.
Just a 10-foot Mike flag in front of the podium.
It could be the president. His head's blocked out by WWDB. All right.
Love that. 855 like an SNL skit.
855-839-1210. You got to get in. I'm not sure. There might be a Dan time with Dom today in the offing.
Yeah, I got one.
And at 2 o'clock, we'll talk with Jay Towne. How did the closing argument go today? And what does he think of Robert De Niro?
They're running a strange program, y'all.
It's Dan time.
I can handle things. I'm smart. I'm like everybody says.
With Dom.
That's right, it's that time of the afternoon. Producer Dan takes over the Dom Giordano program for some Dan time with Dom. And Dom, I got some good news if you're a Philadelphia Phillies fan or if you're a baseball fan in general. I'm sure you've seen this. Angel Hernandez retired immediately. Again, we talked about this guy on the show in the past because he's the one that unsuccessfully sued the MLB on grounds of racial discrimination because he wasn't apparently getting the gigs that he deserved, World Series gigs. But no, he was just an absolutely terrible umpire and was actually given more opportunities than he probably should have been given, right, Dom?
Never should have been able to call balls and strikes. And I think, Dan, one of the best things an umpire on first or third base, did you swing at the pitch or not, or did you check it? He's one of the worst we've ever seen. I've seen all kinds of people. Schwarber, who seems to be just a decent, calm guy.
Nice guy.
Nuts berserk. With this guy, yeah.
Absolutely berserk. And I implore our listeners, go check out John Boy Media on YouTube. What this guy does is he does lip-reading breakdowns, and there are multiple videos of Philadelphia Phillies just saying words to Angel Hernandez, and the guy gaslighting, and he just wasn't good out there on the field. So it is good news for anybody that watches baseball that Angel Hernandez is nowhere near any of these games, though.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe some preview of what the reframing of the narrative might be for immigration, because I guess you can blame climate change here. Mexico City could run out of water. water in a month unless it rains. This is a story from Business Insider. So I can see the Biden administration grasping onto this as an excuse as to why migrant inflation continues.
That's right.
Dom, YouTube. If you're a fan of YouTube and you use an ad blocker, just a PSA, you might start skipping entire videos because YouTube just added to their logarithm a way to get around the ad blockers. They hate that their users use ad blockers and don't have to watch their advertisements. So what they've done is they've essentially made their videos into ads and made your ad blocker recognize the entire video and skip the video so you can no longer watch YouTube if you use certain ad blockers. So if you're having trouble, you might have to disable that ad blocker moving forward.
Oh, boy.
And finally, Dom, 80% of Americans consider fast food a luxury due to these high prices. Dom, are you a fast food imbiber?
No, not at all.
Nothing?
I can't think of almost anything.
Even some good fries from McDonald's?
Fries.
Yeah, you love those fries.
Wendy's, maybe.
You and Rel ever drive by a McDonald's and have to turn around because you're craving a shake or some fries?
I haven't had a milkshake in quite a while.
Really?
But when I get on these binges for months, it's a milkshake a day.
Yeah. And while we're on food, I just want to give one shout-out, because when we were down at our old station at 4th and Market, there was a place that was down there called Big Ass Slices, a pizza store, and there was a person who regrettably passed away recently. He was a worker. There was a person sitting outside the restaurant. He was trying to get him to move. It turned into an altercation. He was assaulted and later passed away. So just some love out to Big Ass Slices, pretty good pizza down there, and a place that I would go occasionally when we worked down there. But Dom, that's all I got for Day and Time with Dom.
All right, big 2 o'clock hour coming up. We lead it off with Trump surrogate attorney Jay Towne. What happened in the defense breakdown? I told you they had the top 10 reasonable doubt reasons today, just to give the jury something to hang on to. Now we have at 2 o'clock coming up, the prosecution, they'll probably rest tonight before 6 or around 6. And we actually get the jury instructions, and then on the clock tomorrow, it looks like sometime around 11 a.m. or so. Did we get the verdict this week? I will say yes, we do. But it's going to be turmoil, the pressure on the two or three holdouts to convict President Trump. And then Mike Testa is a bulldog, the state senator from the Jersey Shore, former Wildwood lifeguard. It seems this time the people at the Jersey Shore are really fired up to take on Phil Murphy, his attorney general, and the usual gaggle of progressives. Can they convince people that what we saw over the weekend needs to be stopped? Maybe not in New Jersey. They're progressives.
Dom Giordano, weekdays noon till 3 from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.